There's a lot going on in that little scene. I mean, it's a fun song, a catchy tune, but it all starts off with this gift that changes the whole outlook, the whole demeanor of a hard heart, a crusty, mean, you know, just wants his own way, wants to be the boss, is in control of everything, and feels like everybody's against him, you know, and everybody's his enemy, so he better be everybody else's enemy. I don't know if you know anybody like that in your life. I don't know if you've had moments or even seasons in your life when you felt that way, that everybody was against you. And maybe it took something to change your heart. But as we're talking about Christmas, I see in this little fun little kids clip what the whole Christmas message is all about and how it all starts off. Everything's a gift in our walk with God. And it all starts off with his gift of his son sending into this cold, cruel, dark, fallen world this, you know, this perfect son of God to constantly just give and show us more and more. And so okay. But I want you to think, we didn't get a chance to do this in the mixer time, but have you ever received a gift that changed your life? Or, you know, changed even a little bit? I was going to grab, I remember it was my senior year for Christmas when I was a kid, and I started listening to, because I had some friends in the parking lot at high school, you know, that listened to some cool music. I started getting into old classic rock and blues music. And for Christmas that year, I got a harmonica. And you guys have heard me mess around and play with harmonica, but it took me on a fun little path through my college years and even till today. You know, it's always a fun, you know, excuse for me to say, hey, you guys, you know, mind if I sit in or just have a fun time? It's just been a way to make friends and be part of some music scenes and things like that. You never know how something's just gonna affect you in one way or another. Maybe it was, you know, a basketball or, you know, or some other instrument or something, you know, that you received, you know, that brought something out of you that changed you and impacted your life. Well, that's what our relationship with God is all about. It's this gift, and really a series of gifts that I wanna look at today that causes all these changes in our lives. And I just want to take today to maybe appreciate a little more about how so much of what God does is gifting to us. And so much of all we need to do is simply receiving. And so most of you, as opposed to most of the kids, most of you this time of year are in giving mode. You're in shopping mode. You're in fulfilling wish list mode. The kids are on the other side of things, mostly in receiving mode. They've got this down. This is a little bit more of a challenge for you grown-ups. But my goal today is to try to get you into receiving mode, okay? That should feel pretty good, okay? To accept some gifts. And the first gift that God has for us right out of the gate is the gift of faith, which sounds funny, but it's this gift of faith that changes what our identity is at its core. Okay, but wait. I thought faith was my response to the gift of grace or the gift of Jesus or the gift of, you know, Christ's sacrifice and all that. I thought faith was my response. And here's something super foundational in the Christian walk. And it comes out of Ephesians chapter 2 that Paul talks about, for grace you have been saved through faith. And not even faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's this incredible, even that faith response that we feel we're, you know, that's our response. Even the ability to respond to God, to have that insight, that sensitivity, that longing, that desire. I mean, that's how needy and broken and fallen this world is that we even need that little help, is to be given the faith to respond. You know, it's kind of like when we help our kids come up with a wish list, or help them write thank you notes, or, you know, just do those basic things that a lot of times they feel they're doing, but they even need a little help initiating. Hey, you need to write these thank you cards. Well, I don't know how to write it. Okay, well, you know, just write your name on there, you know, when they're little. You know, and they get, they're so proud, you know, that they've done this, you know, little act. But they needed their parents' help to even get that going. So even our faith response to God that all throughout the New Testament, all throughout the whole Bible, says that's what saves us. That's what brings our soul into realizing our ultimate identity as sons and daughters of God. Even that, from the very get-go, is a gift from God. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way. I remember years ago when I stumbled upon that passage in Ephesians in seminary. It's like, whoa, I've got to rethink this. I thought I figured this out. I thought I came to the conclusion that, okay, you know, Jesus is the Son of God and I need to follow him, and that's the best philosophy out there, and okay, I've made a good, solid conclusion here. And then realizing, whoa, and looking back on my life and seeing all the things that kind of led up to that, and different things that happened to me to make me want to embrace Christ, it really humbles you. It's like, okay, kind of thought I had figured some stuff out, and realizing, well, it was God that was illuminating the way. And it's all a gift from him. My very ability to have a relationship with him is a gift. And just like in that little clip where mean old Winter receives a gift for the first time, it's this incredible feeling that somebody cares that much about me to give me something that otherwise I could not come up with on my own. So our very relationship with God that brings us to an understanding of who we really are, our very identity, starts off with a gift. And then comes even more giving, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, because as soon as you come to that place of responding to that gift of faith in faith, God gives us his Holy Spirit. And you could make the argument, well, when does that happen? Maybe that needed to happen, and theologians waste tons of ink and time. I don't know if it's a waste. It's a fun read. But on what comes first, our faith or the Holy Spirit? Boy, in that Ephesians passage, it sounds like that Holy Spirit had to come in there and prop up that faith to begin with. So it's all mixed in together. Who knows? My mind wants to be linear about it, but God isn't very linear. So we have this Holy Spirit that, you know, God's very Spirit inside of us. Jesus talks about, he says, when you accept me and my Father will come and make a home in you. And he uses those words. And the Spirit will dwell inside of you. And things start to change. And a little bit of a battle is now afoot, because there's my human nature that wants to do things one way, and then there's God's nature inside me you know, that the Apostle Paul describes as a bit of a battle. And it's not even a, I think this is just a funny picture, but, you know, it's not like, because I'm not one of those, hey, the devil made me do it. You know, I think I've got enough of my own, you know, sin that drives me a certain way, that there's enough going on inside me that's wrestling with the Holy Spirit inside me. But God doesn't want me, he cares too much about me to let me get away with being who I otherwise would be and how I would behave. Galatians puts it this way. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You won't want to. Even when you try, you're not going to feel good about it. You know that something's wrong, something's off. Before you have that Holy Spirit in you, and maybe you can go back to those days. Boy, man. Feel that guilty, you know, it wasn't that much of an issue. There wasn't a sensitivity to, oh, there might be a better way to approach this. I probably shouldn't have said that. I might have hurt their feelings. This maybe isn't the best habit for me. And it's a lot more of a free fall. But when that Holy Spirit's in there, now there's conflict. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Thank God, because whatever I want isn't going to end up what's best. I don't know, have I told this story to you guys? This was like my college years, sophomore year of college, where I was really pressing into my walk with God more than I ever had before. Have I told you the story? Because if I have, I really don't want to tell it again because it's really embarrassing, makes me look really bad. The one about copying answers on an exam?
Oh yeah, that one.
Okay. All right, okay, good. So these guys can tell you. Do I need to tell it again? And so, all right. I will. Okay. It just. So, all right. Well, it's a mechanical engineering class. It's an exam. I go up to ask the professor the question. I'm confused about the wording of one of the questions. So I'm up in front of the class talking to him, and out of the corner of my eye, I see the answer key. And so I ask him another question to keep him a little distracted. And while he's talking, I'm really not listening, but I'm just kind of memorizing TF, FT, you know, on this true or false, you know, and I, cause, you know, and so I, and I, you know, and I'm a wow, brilliant bonus for me, you know, once again, I've beat the system, you know, I was kind of proud of myself, walked back to my seat, changed a few answers, you know, that was golden. You know, and so felt like I did pretty good on the test. Went to my next class. I remember it was downstairs in the construction management building. I remember going down all those steps, plopped down in my next class. And all of a sudden, it was weird. I mean, the air got thin. It got dark. It's like something was suffocating me. I started to sweat. What is going on here? And I just felt this like pressing feeling of must be, I mean, this was God's Spirit saying, no, we've come too far, you're too valuable, I've got more for you than this, don't let this, you've got to make this right, if you go in this direction, things will not go well for you. And I started to have this conflict. I'm like, whoa, it's too late now. What can I do about it? I already turned it in. What am I supposed to do? Go confess? My freshman year in a big physics class, I remember one of those big auditorium classes, this kid got kicked out of school for getting caught cheating on a midterm. And I'm all, this is college. It's not high school where everybody's copying off each other and you get away with anything. I mean, you get caught here, it's hasta la vista. I mean, you're gone. And so you want me to do that? You're saying there's better things, you know, for me? That doesn't sound, okay, well, let's just let this one go and I won't do it again. But I couldn't breathe. And it was this feeling of, okay, if I don't rectify this, I don't know if I mean, I'm not going to make it out of it. I can't even I'm not going to be able to live. It was this really pressing feeling inside and out of me. It was almost a physical feeling. So I remember trudging three floors back up to that professor's office, which was next to the classroom, knocking on the door. Hey, come on in. What's wrong? Something up. And I'm I kind of got a little bit of a confession to make. And his eyes got really big. And I'm all, well, what? You know, what? And I said, well, that exam we just took, I cheated on it. And he got real serious all of a sudden. And he's all, really? Well, that's a serious matter. How did you cheat on it? And I said, well, when I was up there asking you questions, I saw the answer key on your desk. And he goes, oh, well. And he kind of paused and was quiet for a minute. And then I'm all, okay, God, I hope you can do something here. I think I'm doing my best to do my part. And he says, well, I'll tell you what. Because you came to me and admitted, I feel like you took your responsibility, and I'm going to take my responsibility, because I probably shouldn't have such a tempting thing out in the open. So I'm going to, let's just make things right here. Do you remember which part? I'm like, yeah, I remember exactly what. We went to that part of the TF thing, and we just changed them back, and everything was good. And I never wanted to feel that feeling again. And I have. Thankfully, God, I mean, you get, I don't know if it was that pressing and that, you know, but you're tempted, you want to say something, you know, or maybe you did say, I mean, and God pushes you back to an apology, pushes you back to make something right, pushes you back to offer forgiveness. What a gift to have the God of the universe's personal moral compass inside of us. And we know it's there because we can feel it. We know when we're out of line and we're pushing. And then in days and even weeks, sometimes months can go by and we've just pushed it down. But that is what God wants for us. And we've been given this gift that we need to embrace, receive, surrender to, and let mold us and shape us. Walk by the Spirit, says Paul. There's going to be conflict, thankfully, because if there wasn't conflict, where might we go? How might we be? But there's more gifts involved, and it seems like we talk a lot about this, but I don't know if you can ever talk enough about spiritual gifts in church, because this is the engine of the church and the way God's Spirit works in and among it. And everybody's getting the Mission Impossible reference with an old TV show where it starts off, you light this fuse and
the older
cool music starts. Anyway. But this gift of the whole of spiritual gifts, it's like a gift of gifts that God plants in us when we begin faithfully following Him, that changes our mission. I mean, first of all, just the gift of faith changes our identity. The gift of the Holy Spirit changes our behavior. And now if you're ever wondering, or if you ever catch yourself in what am I doing here? What am I good for? Am I really, having an impact in the world? If you ever catch yourself feeling that, you haven't enjoyed receiving, being on the receiving end as much as God wants you to be. Because He's gifted every one of you with many spiritual gifts. The Bible says everybody's got at least one. My experience in the church says everybody's got 3 to 5. I mean, definitely 2 or 3 strong primary gifts that are your talents that maybe, again, you thought you've honed and through your experience, through practice, and it's just, well, I've always had a love for that. No. That's not you. God has given you those abilities, those passions, those talents, so that you could fulfill the mission that He's called you into in this life. Many of us have squandered those because we just didn't know that there was a place to use them. Man, maybe they've gone dormant and you forgot that you're a gifted artist or musician or storyteller or teacher or leader or giver or servant or encourager or, you know, the gift of mercy is a huge gift. And maybe because of how your work path has taken you, you feel like who you really are isn't being used. Or if those talents and gifts are being used, it's only to make money and further the mission of some other worldly endeavor. Which, and we talked about this last week, it's not bad. Make a bunch of money. Believe me, your pastor is praying for you to be very financially prosperous. Because God will use that in the life of the church and in the giving of the community and all of that. But to throw your identity and your mission into that, you're missing who you really are. God's gift of spiritual gifts changes your very mission. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And it's so great that we're all different this way. Because we need that variety in the church to pull off everything that we're challenged to do. If your gift is serving, then show up early. Stay late. Serve. If it's teaching, take on a teaching role. Here with kids, with youth. If it's to encourage, boy, we saw you last night encouraging a family that was definitely in need of that. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And this is just a snapshot in this passage of Romans. I mean, you can count up 23 spiritual gifts throughout the New Testament. But none of those passages does Paul or the writer or Peter ever sound like it's an exhaustive list. It's more of examples, examples, examples. God is always, because it's funny, I mean, music is such a wonderful gift within the church. And so that doesn't even get, I mean, music's obviously a spiritual gift. There's so many, you know, other creative, artistic ways that you know, the Bible doesn't even mention. I mean, that God gifts the church in. So even, yes?
23 gifts?
Yeah. 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 I mean, and that's just the, you know, getting technical, you know.
I mean, it's universal.
And so, it's a good number. It's a good prime number. 23 like 23. Michael Jordan. Pleasantville zip code. I don't know. So,
okay.
All right. Okay, but I got something for you guys. Because again, this crowd is not that great at receiving. You're great at thinking of others and giving to others. Michael, would you go get Vivian and Eva to come out here real quick? Would you mind doing that? And so, I want to get you guys in the mood for Christmas. Because the heart of... What's that mass for anyway? Anybody know what that even means? From the Latin? The Christ mass? The Christ mass? And so, yeah, who cares? Yeah. It's the body. It just means the body. You know, like mass. You go to mass. It's the body of Christ. I mean, it's God came into a body. But the heart of Christmas is a gift that changes you and me. Ladies, come up here. I need you. I need a couple L's. Okay, so here's what you got to do. Is it about the same amount of people on that side as it is? Oh, there's presents under the tree too. So just go by and let everyone pick out a little toy. And it's a silly little toy that I hope will be a very strong symbol for you that you have been gifted by the God of the universe in so many ways, and your very relationship with God transcends anything that you could bring to Him. Our relationship with God is so overwhelmingly His gifting to us. From the very faith that we're able to respond to Him and trust in His goodness, to the very power to be changed in our behavior and our outlook, to understanding who we really are and getting on board with the mission that He has for us that will bring the kind of fulfillment that nothing else in this world can bring. Ooh, so what'd you get?
You get some cool stuff?
All right. And so, oh, somebody got a harmonica.
I got the ultimate speaker.
So, you got, yeah, we got lots of, yep, exactly. Good. Thank you, ladies. Well done. Because these grown-ups need to learn how to receive gifts better. Well, yeah, you guys got it down, I see. Okay. But we all need to be like that when it comes to our relationship with God. Is enjoy those gifts, receive them, and put them to use. And that's what next week's going to be a little bit more about. Well, it's Keith... and the team comes back up. Let me just say a little prayer over these gifts. Thank you for all the gifts that you give us. And I just pray that they really would bring change. That we would first, through the gift of faith, come to know who we really are. That we're sons and daughters of the living God. And that just changes everything. That just changes our destiny, our eternity, how we view ourselves, how we view others around us. Now we know who we really are because of that gift. And Lord, I pray that you would make more and more changes through your Holy Spirit in us and make it harder and harder to go our own way so that the desires of our own flesh would just become more and more aligned with the Spirit in us. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that every one of us would just feel so content and fulfilled in how significant we are because of the contributions we're able to make because of the gifts you've given us. Fulfill that mission in this world. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.